on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielo.
Cody, it has been a rough week for the Cyclones. We thought that maybe the Arizona game was possibly going to be a learning experience. Unfortunately, the offense has been very stagnant, although we saw some promising stuff. But, I mean, with point outputs of 61 on Saturday against K-State and then 52 on Monday against Kansas, is this offense broken, Cody?
There's two different stories, actually, within the Kansas and the Kansas State game. There were strides in the Kansas game in terms of ball movement and whatnot, and the shot selection was better on Monday. Shots just weren't going down. It's just a big takeaway I had from the Kansas game. We had good looks. We simply were just not able to convert on them. And then the Kansas State game, that one, that's the one that I think a lot of fans have been really frustrated with. I think it was just the turnovers really killed Iowa State because they had 18 turnovers in that game against Kansas State on Saturday. So, and obviously with Milan, obviously having been out, and unfortunately we haven't had production off our bench, it's really difficult to put up a good amount of points because teams have been doing a better job scouting Curtis Jones. They've been guarding him like crazy. Keyshawn hasn't really gotten those same looks that he usually does. Jefferson, I mean, he's hitting a lull right now. Jackson, I think he's in a lull right now. Tame Lipsy has been a bright spot in the offense. It's just the fact that you aren't getting anything really out of Chatfield or Heisey because, I mean, in the last two games, those two combined have only taken one shot attempt to go 0-1. So this is something that is kind of inexcusable if you like are Iowa State. You can't have your guys only, or you can't have two guys collectively only take one shot attempt and not make it. So both Chatfield and Heisey have been net zeros when it comes to the offensive production. So there is a growing frustration within the fan base of their production. But I think ultimately it just comes down to the fact that teams have just been really guarding Curtis Jones. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can take it. But the big thing that I'm seeing is just like you shouldn't have to really rely on one player to make everything work. But I think that seems to be the case with this Iowa State squad, because I think what's being often forgotten is the fact that this Iowa State squad is just, it's a lot of mid-major, like it's like an all-star mid-major team. Like most of the team is comprised of guys who transferred in from mid-majors, with the exception of Tame Lipsy, who's the hometown guy, and then Milan Momcilovic, who is like the big, like force, like the big, like the main guy, like that has actually been recruited. So I think there's just a lot of things to, like, it's a lot to unpack, but I think as just need guys like really just to really be able to step up. And I think there is progress being made. There was progress made on Monday in terms of, like I said, the ball movement and shots selection. Obviously, you aren't going to shoot 3 of 21 every night. That's one of those rarities where you just shoot bad. But I think if Iowa State can do that, what they did against Kansas, and actually knock down some more shots, Iowa State can find itself right back to where it was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. Especially when we have a really, really easy portion of our schedule coming up, the next four games, we can really get ourselves out of this rut. And like you said, I really chalk up Monday's game to lack of poor shooting and not executing the baskets that were, you know, given in front of you. Just got to make them. But, I mean, sometimes that's what happens in a game of basketball. You have a lot of makeable shots, you just don't make them. And that's what happened on Monday. So, yeah, well, we are going to move on from that. And then just with the Milan news, I know we got some news. I saw on the ESPN ticker yesterday, I believe they said that Milan, I think, is another week away from being ready for gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, on Monday, I mean, during warmups, Milan was able to shoot the ball. Like, obviously, you saw the wrapped up left hand for Milan, but he was taking shots. So, from the looks of it, from the outside, it looks like he has made progress. And this is big news for Iowa State because obviously, this stretch, you ideally want him back before the Houston game.
Yeah, we're gonna need him for the stretch run, especially for teams that can shoot the ball. Like that UCF game is gonna be a little tough down there. And then BYU, I know they're not the same BYU, but they've been playing pretty well as of late. And that'd be nice to have him back for that. But yeah,
For sure.
anytime that we can get him back, like the better. But I wanna go and look around the Big 12 because it was a crazy night in the Big 12. Do you want to share your screen and then tell us what happened?
Yeah, let me get to that here in a second. Yeah, mentioned there was a lot of chaos that like happened within the Big 12. Obviously coming like so we're counting games from like Saturday until today. I mean, the big one that everybody's going to be caring about when it comes to Iowa State is obviously the shocking home loss to Kansas State, where it basically looked like Kansas State just simply wanted that game more than Iowa State did. That was just the effort was that's the one, like I mentioned before, that's the one that frustrates the fans the most, just because there just was a lack of effort. I think the guys were still just, I mean, I think it's psychological. I think they were still reeling from that Arizona loss, and I think because of how long they had in between. That Arizona game, which was on Monday night, to Kansas State, which was Saturday afternoon. I think the guys were just, I think the players and the coaching staff, I think they were overthinking like that game because they probably were like, because you had so much time in between, that can happen to you. I've had it sometimes as an athlete where you have so much time between games or like meets that you tend to really overthink a lot of things, and I think that was just where Iowa State fell. And then the quick turnaround from that devastating loss to having to travel to Allen Fieldhouse, I think that played another factor. So I think this really is a confidence thing. I think the guys are really shook confidence-wise. It's just, I mean, going through like this is never like, but at the same time, I think these guys are way like they're gonna eventually be able to get out of this. I think the panic that I've seen out of some might be overblown a bit because yes, we are no longer projected to be a one seed and whatnot, but I mean, some have us fall into the three seed, but generally speaking, as long as you're in like that top four seed line, I think you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And I mean, you still have to eventually go up against teams that are ranked higher than you. So, anyways, with that said, here is like a look at the Saturday slate. Obviously, we've already mentioned the Kansas State matchup where and that one was clearly effort. I mean, at least Tame Lissy put up a really good performance, 20 points to lead Iowa State. But yeah. This was just a game where the second half, the wheels really fell off in terms of effort. So inexcusable and luck. And I think that got it like that. Some of it got addressed on Monday. So we're going to have to see how they come out Saturday. I think the team's going to come out much better after that. But elsewhere, we look at Texas Tech taking down number six Houston. This game went to overtime. And the big story that came out of this was the flagrant two on, I believe it was JT Toppin, within 4 minutes of the game, JT Toppin gets called for a flagrant two foul off a cross court pass that ended up with his leg kicking. I don't remember who the player was, but kicked a Houston player in between the legs. And because the ref saw a guy being down on the floor, they automatically ruled it a flagrant two. And a lot of fans, and I mean, even the commentary crew was disagreeing with that. They said that JT Thompson should not have been ejected for it, and it was just a pretty soft flagrant two. Now, if I was officiating that, I would have called that a flagrant one, but no reason for it to be a flagrant two because it. By the way, JT Thompson went up to go to a cross court pass, that was incidental contact. That there was no intention to kick whoever the Houston player was in between the legs, so that needs to be fixed. But Texas Tech is able to fight through that and get that big win at the Fertitta Center.
Yeah, that was a great game on Saturday. Just a classic. And in Houston, as Tech just keeps rolling, and they keep moving and moving up the standings in the Big 12.
Yeah, and then so yeah, Texas Tech 8-2, so they're looking to possibly with that chaos, with that win, that helps them. They could possibly win the Big 12. Just has to see how everything falls. But we go look some more around the Big 12. Baylor being down 19 at the half against number 11 Kansas, puts up 60 points in the second half to come back down 19 to win that game, 81-70. I didn't. This was an unprecedented choke or collapse, excuse me, from Kansas. This is something that I've never seen under Bill Self or Kansas in general. They never choke.
60 points and a half is insane, bro. That, wow. I didn't even know it was that bad. Golly.
Yeah, and I mean, this clearly played a factor into how Monday's game went when we had to travel to Allen Field Hall. So they clearly took that personal. And I mean, they weren't going to do that again. So, I mean, I could. But before we get to Big Monday, Arizona and Arizona State had their duel in the desert. And things got chippy at the end with Freeman and Caleb Love headbutting each other. Yeah, you're muted.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, like, obviously that's a huge rivalry. And anytime it gets chippy, like, it always makes for some entertaining television.
And then a couple other quick games here. Oklahoma State picks up their third Big 12 win against Utah at home. Oklahoma State, I mean, that game, I mean, for a while, like for Iowa State, it looked winnable. But, I mean, you never know now. Now with the way things have happened, you don't know what's going on in the Big 12. There's always going to be chaos. So that's going to be a weary road trip to Stillwater. Then BYU goes to UCF. They go to Edition Finance Arena and win that game 81-75. So BYU is still on the running to be in the top half of the Big 12. So, I mean, UCF, that's a game to watch out for because of the unpredictability of UCF and their inconsistencies. Just no matter how the teams are, I think UCF will be difficult because I don't think they're going to run that game plan that they did against us when we first played UCF because UCF tried to run laps around us, but it clearly fell flat in their faces. We were able to put up 100. So I doubt UCF is going to try that game plan again. So that game's going to be a watch out for if you're Iowa State. So, and then we move to Sunday. You had a couple of Big 12 matchups. You had West Virginia going to Cincinnati and winning that game 63-50. Javon Small nearly puts up a double-double with 19 points and 9 assists. Cincinnati continues to disappoint. Like, at this point, they're just, I don't know. Cincinnati, man, I don't know what to gauge on.
Fork in them. It's over.
Yeah, it's going to be different. I don't know if their tournament hopes are slim.
They're very, very slim right now, dude. I don't even know what you can even do at this point to even motivate this team. Like, for real, like, I don't even know.
And then finally, for the Sunday, you had TCU winning 68-57 against winless Colorado. Colorado is still looking for their first Big 12 win, and I don't know where they're going to get that. So TCU is looking all right. They aren't too shabby. Rattled off a couple wins, so we'll see how TCU fares when they come up to Ames here in a couple of days. But before we get to that, there's still a lot of Big 12 ball we got to talk about. I mean, obviously, you have the Big Monday where Iowa State's first half, that was the lowest output ever in the TJ Otzelberger era. 19 points in that first half was the lowest first half output. And I think that just told the story. Like, the shooting of this game was what told the story. Iowa State was just not able to buy a bucket anywhere they could go. Mm-hmm.
So,
being 3 of 21 from... Yeah, that's never going to win you games. And Kansas played a pretty good game, so... 9 of 18 from 3. So.
Yeah, look how efficient they were. They were 50% from 3 and then 47% from the field goals. So, yeah, you're going to win a lot of games shooting like
mm-hmm. this. Yep. But I will say the one encouraging thing I did see out of this game was effort. If you look at the offensive rebounding numbers from Iowa State versus Kansas, we were crashing the boards. Like, I mean, Deshaun Jackson had 4 offensive rebounds, Jefferson had 3, Damarian Watson with 2, and you had Keyshawn, Curtis Taman, Nate Heisey, and Jeffrey each contributing 1. Now, also with that, you kind of want more out of your bench. This is something that has people concerned a lot. I mean, is it time that we perhaps explore Noyes and Drusitis coming off the bench?
I feel like it's time. I feel like it's been time to do that. We just gotta actually do it now. Like I thank you for what Nate Heisey's done, but you gotta put the young guy in, because Nate Heisey doesn't have his confidence. It's shot. He doesn't want to shoot the ball. Like you gotta you yeah. can't he can't you can't have a net zero on the court, bro. You gotta
take yeah. Yeah, or Chatfield for that matter, because I mentioned at the beginning, Brenton Chatfield and Nate Heisey combined in the last two games have gone 0-1. So not only are they not scoring, they aren't even trying to put up shots. So
right.
It looks like they're not even trying to contribute. So I think, yeah, it might be time for – and, I mean, with Damarian, I mean, Damarian might have to do a little – like, there's got to be a little more pressure on him. I mean, he's still getting rebounds, so I'll give that. But – four personal fouls ain't going to cut it. So Damarian Watson's got to be a little more disciplined when it comes to his defense. And Noyes, I would love – I hope we get to see Noyes some more. He's got to get some more minutes.
He's got to get some more minutes. And, yes, I understand that he may sacrifice some defense. But, like, at this point, bro, like, I'm not going to say that defense doesn't matter, but we need to score.
Yeah. Like, you kind of need to find offense, because that's going to – yeah. And the thing is, if you have good offense, it can help your confidence on your defense, because right. You're not putting so much pressure on having to turn the ball over. Like, that was years past when we had that. But we're in a new era. I think this team, like, we can still have a good defense, but we should not need to have to rely on it as much. So that goes a long way. But we're going to go to Tuesday. Well, this is yesterday, so we had some results that feel a little deceiving. Houston, Oklahoma State. This one feels a little deceiving. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Houston still won that, but I feel like with the way they play in comparison to Oklahoma State, I would have thought this was going to be more of a blowout, but I guess Oklahoma State, to their credit, they played up against Houston, so props to Oklahoma State.
I mean, like we said in this conference, if you're not ready to play, a team can really, really creep up on you and give you a scare. Like Houston, like Oklahoma State gave Houston in this game.
And it's and that's another crazy thing. If you look at the offensive rebounds, 18-4. Now you would think if you're out. Offensive rebounding a team by that margin that you would be winning this game by way more. But I mean, Oklahoma State, they got a couple guys in double digits. You got some bench production. You basically matched in terms of field goal percentage, matched almost basically in three pointers. Free throws made a bit of a difference in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was evenly matched.
Yeah, Houston was able to pull away. Make a few more shots.
Yep. Okay. And then in our what we like to call the butt bowl, Baylor and Texas Tech. Baylor started out pretty decent in this game, but Texas Tech eventually was able to pull away.
Yeah. As you see, Texas Tech showing that they're the second best team in this conference as of late, just continuing to crank out wins at home at the U.S. Supermarket Arena?
Yeah, USA.
Yeah, USA Supermarket Arena, and they're basically unbeatable there. And they could Texas Tech continues to roll, and I believe they have another game against Houston in Lubbock.
Yes, they do. Yep, and they get it in Lubbock.
Yeah, so I mean that could probably decide the conference. Whatever they play again, I have to check the schedule, but that's going to be a hell of a game to watch.
Yeah, possibly. And then we look down. So Arizona coming off that win in the duel in the desert, they go to the Marriott Center. Tied game at halftime, 41 apiece. But Arizona eventually able to pull away. And Arizona is like, they're looking to stay. They're in the race with Houston and Texas Tech to win the Big 12.
Well, I stand corrected. I didn't know that Arizona was 10-1. Yeah, I mean, you look at Arizona. I mean, Arizona has been just on a tear in this conference ever since they started conference play. Like, basically, you know, not the non-con schedule was basically a mirage. And ever since conference play has started, they've just been on a roll. Mm-hmm. So big ups to Arizona.
Yep. And then Kansas State, Arizona State, nail biter. Arizona State started this game out high. I think they started the game on a 15-0 run. And Kansas State was able to to weather the storm and be able to win that game by one. Kansas State is looking like they're the hottest team, I think, if we're not talking about top teams, Kansas State's the hottest team in the Big 12. And it looks like their roster is gelling together. The chemistry is much better, and they're winning basketball games. So I think they're right now at the rate they're going. They're saving their hopes to go to the NCAA tournament.
They're playing well at the right time. They built off of that Iowa State win. So good on them and on Coach Tang and the Cats. They're finally rounding into form.
Yeah, but as much as I hated it, I had to give where to do. So, honestly, that rematch in Manhattan should be. Ooh, I think Iowa State, I hope that's got to be personal. After you get embarrassed at home by almost 20 to Kansas State, your return trip, it's going to be personal. Mm-hmm. Mhm. Yeah. Yep.
Having something like that.
Yeah, somewhere. Yep. We looked at today. Sorry for cutting you off, but looking to today's matchups, you have Cincinnati going to Edition Financial Arena, take on UCF. West Virginia travels to Fort Worth to take on TCU, and Colorado is still on the hunt for their first Big 12 win. They travel to Salt Lake City to take on Utah, and this one just feels like a very not exactly a hyper fun slate to look at, but there's just some things to look at. I guess if you're Iowa State, because you're gonna play TCU at home on Saturday. Then you got to go to UCF, I believe, next Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't remember which day it is. And then you host Cincinnati. I think you still have to play Colorado at some point in the stretch. So a lot of teams. So you have a lot of teams that are coming up on the slate here for Iowa State. So this one to watch for.
Yeah, I mean, this is like you said, obviously. You know, maybe the conference and all that stuff, hope still might be gone, but who knows? A difference in 2 weeks could change all that. So just, you know, continue to play, get these four conference wins along these bottom barrel teams and get back into this race and then see where you are by the time you play Houston at Fortuna. I mean, for that's sure. Really what you got. That's all you got to do at this point.
Yeah, just win these games. Now you're in. Yep. And then we take a look at Saturday's slate, since that's going to be coming up here in a few days. Pretty decent day for the Big 12. You obviously have TCU traveling Iowa State. Now, Iowa State, they're going to be hosting College Game Day. This will be the first time that they've hosted College Game Day in 10 years.
It's really been a decade?
Yeah, 2015 was the last time, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, and it kind of came at a weird time because it was most of the fan base presumed we were still going to be a top five team. Unfortunately, that's not how things worked out. But, I mean, this is still going to be a good atmosphere regardless of how it's gone lately, because that's the thing. The last thing you really want to see is just, with how morale is right now, if we don't show out, even regardless of how it's gone, I think that might still weigh on the players, because it's things can translate, and I'm hoping that this is a good atmosphere, regardless of what's recent, because I think at this point, you just got to look at it one game at a time.
Yeah, fans, fan base, please show up. These players are playing their hearts. I know you might be mad. I know your emotions may be getting the best of you, but, the ups and downs of a basketball season, you're going to go through losing streaks. We've gone through it every single year with odds, where we've had that stuck rut where we've lost like 3 games in a row and the world is ending.
Falls.
And then we end up, yeah, the world's fallen. And we all, the good thing about these odds teams is that every time that we have one of these, we always end up figuring it out. So if any team can figure it out, it's the Iowa State Cyclones.
For sure. Yeah, and I mean, this goes into conversation. Like, there are only a handful of teams that can rebound quickly from a loss. It would be your Kansases, your Dukes, your Kentuckys of the world. So Iowa State, we still are not in that tier. So take this with a grain of salt that, yes, we are in a rut. Like, and we should, like, for if you're asking like team like how they haven't responded as quick, it's just because that we don't have the talent level. Like, I think it's simply what it is. Like I mentioned, we do not have the talent pool that Kansas and Duke has, and Kentucky as well. So quite frankly, it's going to take a little longer for us to adjust, but I think there's still an ability to do so. But yeah, that's probably enough of a preview on TCU, Iowa State. Speaking of Kansas, they got to go. Kansas has to go to the Octagon of Doom to take on the Kansas State Wildcats. And Jerome Tang would love nothing more than to be able to knock off Kansas and get themselves close the gap in the standings. And I mean, get another signature win for Kansas State in the Octagon of Doom.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine if they go on like a win streak. Let's say that they're 18-11 or whatever going into that, and then really you would have a win over a top 3 Iowa State and then a top 20 Kansas. Like, that's a pretty good resume in my book, and that would overdo all the bad losses that they had in non-con and all the horrible losses that they had in the conference. I mean, it's really how hot you are going into it. And I mean, that would probably even prevent you from having to win a few games in the conference tournament in Kansas City. So, I mean, like, this is a big golden opportunity for the Wildcats right here. As much as I hate to say it, the Sunflower Showdown, this proves to be a big one for the Wildcats.
Yeah. So, that's going to take place at 1:00. So that's going to be right after our game against TCU. So that can be a great transition. You also have UCF going to Baylor. I mean, Baylor, they're reeling. So you got two teams that are they're still fighting to get possibly a tournament spot or a seeding in the Big 12 tournament. And then Houston, number 5 Houston, has to go to Colorado. And from the way it looks right now, I think Houston, they might take care of business. Unless something crazy happens. Colorado shoots it well, and Houston has an uncharacteristic game. This should be Houston taking care of business.
Who does Houston have on the schedule next?
So Houston, let's take a look at their schedule real quick. When you mentioned at Colorado, then you host Baylor, and then the Arizona trip.
Okay, before they play Iowa. Okay, all right. I was possibly looking to see if there was a letdown look ahead opportunity, but there isn't. But all right, yeah, that'll probably be chalk.
And then your 4 to 5 o'clock window, Utah travels to Morgantown to take on West Virginia, and BYU will travel to Cincinnati to take on the Bearcats.
But look at the 9 o'clock.
Texas Tech, Arizona.
This one. And the standings wise, bro, this is gonna be a game to determine who will be in second place by themselves at the end of the night. At this point, because Texas Tech, I believe, plays Houston a couple weeks after that, and then Arizona will host Houston, I think, in a week or so after this game. So
for sure.
it'll be interesting to see.
Yep. So still a lot of action. I mean, this Saturday is going to be huge for the race. I mean, let's see. At this point, if you're Iowa State, I think the Big 12 might, like, the regular season is probably out of reach just because of, like, how everything is falling. But it still is it could be possible. You just need a few things to fall your way, and you're right back in it. So just, if you're Iowa State, take care of business and hope other things fall your way. Perhaps Colorado can somehow shock the world, beat Houston. I mean, you can benefit from either Arizona or Texas Tech losing. I think if you're Iowa State, you would probably prefer if Texas Tech were to beat Arizona. just for that purpose. But I don't know. A lot of things to look at. There's still a long way to go when it comes to basketball. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's enough basketball for today's show. But you know what did come out, Cody?
What?
The 2025 football schedule. Man, I am pumped. I'm about to share my screen.
Yep.
This was great. Like, this is one thing I was looking forward to. I'm like, okay, when is the football schedule coming out? Because you know football's my first love. So, All right, here we go. We're going to go through the schedule. So, obviously, as you know, we start off week zero against K-State. Iowa State fans, make sure the single game tickets are out right now. I'm going to be buying mine probably in a few weeks. So make sure you buy your tickets if you're going to Ireland. Get your ticket first and then book everything else. And then after that trip, we come back home for the home opener and play South Dakota. And then we have a few weeks after that. The week after that, we play at home against Iowa. We need a win at home in this. Like, I want to be Iowa. Yeah. So, yeah, we're due.
Like, the last time I think the home team won CyHawk, it was, like, what, 6 years ago? Yeah. 2018, I believe, was the last time the home team won that game.
Yeah, Iowa won 14-3 that game. Yeah.
All right. And then we get the second game against Arkansas State, so that's going to be one of those home-and-homes. I think some people are saying, like, that could be a trap game just because of how the way these, like, home-and-homes have gone lately. Yep.
Yeah.
I just knocked on wood.
Yeah.
But after that, you get our bye week. So it's nice that we have the bye week there. So we get to host Arizona.
Yeah, we went the first Arizona school. We have them end of September. I'm excited about that. We're going to see how Arizona really is coming in at this point.
Yeah, off a disappointing year. I think Fafita and McMillan won't be on this roster, so it's going to be interesting to see how Arizona rebuilds their roster.
Definitely. Well, that's check them out in the transfer portal.
Yep. And following that, you have two road games. You're at Cincinnati, a familiar place for Iowa State, and then Iowa State will go to Boulder to take on the Colorado Buffaloes, who are going to look really different without Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
It is going to be a new era in Coach Prime's. And Coach Prime's tenure at there. So we're really going to see. Obviously, I believe in this coaching. I already believed in this coaching ability. But we're really, really going to see it on display this year, I think. Especially when all of his sons are gone. But, like, now we really get to see how he runs a program without his kids there.
And then you'll have the second bye week for Iowa State, and homecoming is going to be against BYU.
I'm very, very excited because, like, for the longest time, like, obviously we were, like, the two undefeated teams, and we were looking forward to an Iowa State-BYU Big 12 championship game. You know, their fan base is very, very kind. There's going to be a lot fans at this game, so don't be surprised, Iowa State fans, you see a lot of blue and white, navy blue and white at this game. There's a lot of they're Mormons everywhere.
Yeah. Also, it's going to be funny to see them at an Iowa State tailgate. You get the two things that are complete opposites of each other coming together at Jack Trice Stadium. That's going to be hilarious. The visual.
Iowa State fans. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, just the visual of the BYU fans seeing just how much Iowa State fans can. Like knock down a bush. Like, it's gonna be funny. I think that's gonna be a funny visual to see.
Yeah, and just to be very, very accommodating, to make sure you have some chocolate milk with you, so the BYU fans can drink that.
For sure. Yeah. We'll figure that out. But that'll be coming eventually. And then the week after, you get the Big 12 Championship rematch against Arizona State at home.
Oh, I'm going to make sure that I'm there for this one. Like,
this is
payback, bro. Like, after the belt to ass that we got in that game, I want it, like we said, I want it back in blood, man. I want this game, bro.
I might just pull up in the shiesty mask to this game.
Shoot. Yeah,
that's the type of energy. That's the energy I'm gonna have.
Yeah, dog, you pull up. That was funny. I saw you on Saturday in that shiesty mask.
And that was the type of energy I was on. I was on that type of time in a Saturday, but can't wait for that rematch. And then your last three games, you are at TCU. You host Kansas for senior night, and then you're in Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State.
That one is going to be interesting. I do think the game in Stillwater is probably going to have some Big 12 title implications. I don't think for OSU, but for us, probably. It's probably going to be like a one-and-end scenario.
Yeah.
So one question I do have before we leave, do you have any football schedule hot takes for this schedule?
Obviously, I think number one is going to be that Arkansas State game. That one could, depending on how the teams are heading to it. Like, that one's obviously a trap. And then South Dakota, that one's going to be one that, like, you might be deceived, because South Dakota was one of the teams that made a deep run in the FCS playoffs. So you don't sleep against South Dakota. So yeah, those are probably my main things. It's just the non-con, like, you can't sleep in. Like, that simply can't happen. Like, you can't sleepwalk through it.
I got you, man. No, I completely get the concern. For me, I'm taking the more optimistic point of view. For me, I look at these first six games, and like, I honestly see 5-1 or 6-0, like the way that the schedule jumps out for us, man. Like, we have a bye, we have a week in between these six games. I really, really like how these are spread out. Obviously, depending on how the K-State game goes, that could be a trap. But like, 6-0, 5-1 going into Boulder. Like, that would be great for us to start off and having a record like that again.
For sure. This schedule seems very favorable for Iowa State. This is a very favorable schedule.
Especially with three bye weeks, I'll take it.
Yep. Yeah, because you got – and they're put pretty well, because, I mean, you get the non-con. You don't have that bye week after Cy-Hawk. So that's kind of nice. So you may not get the hangover, possibly, which was maybe a concern, but that didn't seem to be the case. But it's nice that the bye week after the non-con, then you get one a couple games into conference play, and then you get it in the middle of conference play before you have those final two games. So it's kind of nice. I like the way they spread out the bye weeks.
I agree. Yeah. Well, that will be all we have for today's show. Thank you guys for joining us on the Believe in Iowa State podcast. So, as always, these are our forms of social media that you can find us on. So, here are all of them right here. And then we are also a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa, so thank you, state of Iowa listeners, as well as everywhere else where we get support. We thank you guys for that. And we can be found on Twitter. I am at SciTieGuy, and Cody can be found at Matt Campbell Impersonator. So for here, if you want to find me, that's where I'm at on Twitter. And then this is where Cody can be found. One second. Yeah, and Cody can be found at Matt Campbell Impersonator. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Van Cielo.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go State.